and now I have to feed people me. Are you ready? We're going to read together from the text, if you would, Acts chapter 14. You can read it in any one of those places or in your Bible, either one. Acts chapter 14 and verse 21. This week, as you notice in the brochure, we're going to be speaking and dealing with Let Us Go Again and See How They Do. Folks, may I say this to you? I chose on purpose verses that you'll never hear in a missions conference because I don't want to deal with putting you back to sleep. Because in this room, the vast majority of people are never going to be missionaries. But I want you to understand the work of missions, which is a little different than seeing somebody go to another country. And Pastor Malone will be able to bring this out very well. I ask him here on purpose because of his work in Liberia, because folks, missionaries have already been there. I'm going to say later in this sermon, I have been in three countries where pastors said we don't need white Americans in this country. But we do need you. That's where we're going to pick up this morning. Acts 14, verse 21, the Apostle Paul is in the first missionary. He is actually in the first missionary journey. And it says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again, got that again, to cities they had already evangelized and had folks baptized, Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, which is not Antioch in Syria, but Antioch in Pisidia, part of Asia Minor. And then Luke records what they did in their second time of visiting them, confirming, strengthening the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that, and it's interesting, Luke is not even there, but he includes himself in that, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, and this next word should have been highlighted also, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed in the past. Chapter 15, 36. Now, everyone look up here. We don't have time to do context. This is the context. First missionary journey is done. Brother Henderson said this morning, and we're assuming you know these things. Churches, missions is this. They start in local churches. They're sent out. They result in local churches, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, and they report back to a local church, Acts 14. The very end of the chapter, they come back to their sending church, Antioch in Syria. We now have the big conflict over the gospel and whether Gentiles have to be circumcised, and of course the answer is no. Paul is now ready to go back out. Where does he go? Look up here. Who cares about those people in Liberia? We're going to go to another place, right? Look what he says. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit. We'll spend some time with that one word. Visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Father, bless your word this morning. May this be a profitable time as we continue to kick off our missions conference. Help me to be able to clearly say some simple ideas this morning. I ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Let us go again and see how they do. What is missions? I was in a conversation with a man that used to attend this church. A friend of mine, I'm not going to say who because of circumstances, but a good friend of mine, good man, he and his wife. He told me, he says, Pastor Warren, the church I'm a member of, the pastor's goal is to support 100 missionaries. And I'm like, 100 missionaries? I'm not Mrs. Hall in math. Pastor Malone's good at math too, by the way. Don't let him fool you. When he needs part-time money, he used to teach in colleges math. He's weird. I like him, but he is weird. I'm not good at math, but I thought, if you have 100 missionaries and you support them for $100 a month, somebody tell me what the math is. How much per month? $10,000 a month. I knew the size of the church, and I told my friend, I said, your church isn't big enough any way possibly to support that kind of money per month. That's $120,000 a year. So I said, what in the world, how much do you support them for? And by the way, his first words out of his mouth, I don't know. I said, you need to find out what you're supporting these missionaries for. Well, I found out how much he supported the missionaries for. The pastor's goal was 100 missionaries that had been through their church. And he counted any missionary that had ever been seated in the chairs or the pews and ever spoke behind the platform, one of their missionaries. They supported 3 or 4 missionaries. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What is missions for you? This is simple this morning. I am a simple person. So we're going to look at simple things. It's not in the text. What is missions? Whether it be home missions or foreign missions. Number one, missions is in the going. It all begins with people going someplace. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The initial teaching of the gospel and making of disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Mark 16:15, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. John 17:18, as thou hast sent me into the world, Jesus speaking to the Father, even so have I sent them into the world, us. Missions is in the going. In your bulletin, I have a phrase under conference objectives. It's been in your bulletin for 3 years since Dr. David Saxon came here and gave it to this church. It's a German phrase that means every Baptist a missionary. That comes out of Gerhard Onken from Germany. Because, my friend, missions is not what the Quelos do. It's not what the Hendersons do. Look up here. It's what you do. You heard Pastor Malone say this. Every Baptist a missionary. When you get saved, God sends you to go someplace. You might not go to a foreign field, but you are to go. Maybe to the next cubicle. Maybe across the room where you work. Maybe into the next department where you work. Maybe around the block. Maybe with an individual whom you just brushed into. Missions is in the going. It requires going of us all. I will say this. The individual who does not do missions here will not do missions there. If you don't witness to people here, if I sent you to another country, you won't witness to people there. Missions in this room is us in the going. I'll just tell a short story, maybe two. 1960, my family moved from a small town in southern Illinois near Alton to a farm. Pastor Henderson, where I grew up, the roads were dirt and gravel roads in those days. In 1960, in that little area, which there was no towns, there were no telephones. In 1960, we did have electricity. We didn't have running water. And we didn't have central heat. And we did have a baño down the path. My mother was a Christian, and she had 4 children in 1960. One of them was 10, one of them was 7, one of them was me, 3, and one of them was an infant. And my mother had no way to get to church. She didn't drive. We didn't have a second car. We're 11 miles, 12 miles from the little community. Somebody, and I still don't know exactly who they are, somehow made contact with my mother and knew that she was a Christian. She wanted to come to church and bring her kids to church. And somebody, listen, every Sunday morning, got up early, drove an old junky bus way out in the country, picked my family up, brought them back. It was at least a half an hour out and a half an hour back. At the end of Sunday morning, they took us back a half an hour. So every single Sunday morning, 2 hours of one family's day was picking up the Warren family. from that this morning, all four kids are saved. All four kids are in Baptist churches like this. My mother's in a Baptist church like this because somebody went a little farther than saying, well, I hope I can wake up this morning and I'm not offended because somebody doesn't tell me how pretty I am today. Look at me. 2 hours every Sunday they spent picking up one family, my family. That's in the going. Missions is in the going. It's, yes, I'm happy the Hendersons, Jack has been working in Mexico for a long time. I'm glad that the Coelhos are in Brazil. I can't speak either language. I can butcher Spanish, and I can't even butcher Portuguese. But by the way, it's in the going. Have you been going? Look at me. Have you been going? Have you been going? I wish I'd have written it down. When I was in seminary in St. Louis, one of my professors, Robert Vasholtz, he was my Hebrew professor. We were reading the book of Ruth in Hebrew. I learned Hebrew from him some, but I learned more about life from him. Dr. Vasholtz, one day, I knew he'd graduated from Bob Jones, had his doctorate from Bob Jones. He'd gone to Brandeis also and got another doctorate. Dr. Vasholtz, one day in Hebrew class, just pulled over, and I wish I'd have written it down. It grabbed me so much when it happened, I thought I would remember every detail for the rest of my life. It's been 25 years, now I don't remember it all. But Dr. Vasholtz said, young man, I want to tell you how I got saved. My Hebrew professor, he said, I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, in a Jewish home. I went to Yiddish school. He still spoke Yiddish and had all kinds of dumb Yiddish expressions and jokes. I can still remember when it says in Hebrew, the word behold is hine. And he says, when we were kids, if your mother said, you know, Bob, where are you? He would say, hine, you know. So I always think when somebody says, you know, hey, and you answer. I got so many things from him. He said, when I was a young boy, we were Jewish. We were outcast because my father left my mother. So we were kind of people on the margins. And he said on a Tuesday night, a lady came by our house and talked to my mother about the gospel. She was a lady. She talked to my mother. The mother's family was from Eastern Europe. Christianity, by the way, Christians? Christians killed her whole family, just like they did every place. You think she's going to say, what must I do to be saved? This Christian woman came to her home to witness to her, and this is Dr. Vasholtz. I'm being pretty precise, as much as I can remember. He said this lady came back to our house more or less every Tuesday night for the next 11 years. How are you doing? By the way, Jack Henderson's old enough to know this name. I don't know about Emmanuel. That was a pastor's wife. Walter Wilson, Dr. Walter Wilson's wife in Kansas City, Missouri, went back every Tuesday night, more or less, for 11 years, and Dr. Vasholtz said the whole family got saved because of this lady that wouldn't stop sharing the gospel. Missions is in the going. Look at me here. It's in the going to the person next to you. It's not in feeling sorry for people. It's not in hugging people. It's in you saying, this person's unsaved. I must go. I must be the person that comes with the gospel to them. Number two, look back in your bulletins, whatever you want to look in at the text. Most of the texts are going to be here. This morning and this whole week's message is not on the initial part. In verse 21, in the middle of going, I mean, they have left Antioch. They have gone up into regions of modern-day Turkey. They've been preaching the gospel in various places. And in Acts 14:21, it says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again. They went back to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. I would say to you this morning, missions is in the going. Number two, missions is in the going again. There is a place for returning and doing the work that needs to be done in that place. What did they do? Look at verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples. Confirming is a word we get steroids from. Sterizo. It means to strengthen. They went back to those places they had been, and they strengthened and confirmed the men and women to their very souls in the faith. They exhorted them to continue in the faith, that we through much tribulation much enter the kingdom of God. And they ordained elders in every church. I'll talk about what these mean in just a moment. And lastly, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Everyone look at me. Here's the problem with churches. No matter what I say this morning, no matter what Pastor Malone believes, most of you will go back home and do what you've always done. Because missions is what other people do. No, missions is what Christians do. If you're a Baptist, that's the very nature of who we are. Baptist Christians are missionaries. Now, you might just work at a place and you're the person that meets the person across the aisle, across the way, in another department, wherever, and you share the gospel with them and bring them to Christ or bring them to church. They get saved here. But missions is also in the going again. Please look at me. Pastor Malone can testify to this. I can testify to this in Venezuela and the Philippines. Every mistake that can possibly be made in missions is made. And the people don't need me to come there and tell them how to get saved. They need people to come there again and do what? Did you see what it said they did? I want to ask you a question. I don't think you ever do this, but I do this. I have this problem. Have you ever opened a jar and when you put the lid back on, you got the lid started wrong? Now I want to ask a question. What are you supposed to do when you realize the lid's going on wrong? What do you do if you're a male? You just screw it on. It's going to work somehow. What usually happens? By the way, if you're a man, I'll get it on there. You screw it on and it does it work? Kind of, but it leaks. Now, folks, hear me. After people getting saved, the most important thing, look here, is getting that thing started properly. What happens if this lid doesn't get on right? Do you know what I have noticed about Christians, even in America? Look at me. They never get started properly. And when the pastor says something, by the way, who's to be the center of your life? Who's to have the preeminence in your life? Christ. Who has the preeminence in your life? My emotions. How I feel that moment. Here's the problem. You get that thing started on wrong, all the pastors in the world can't unscrew it and get it started on right. The reason Paul, in the midst of his missions journey, did, he knew something. We've gone there, we preached the gospel, folks have been saved. We got to get back there, and we got to get this thing started on properly. So if it's started on properly, their lives go forward properly. But if it's on wrong, and by the way, a fundamentalist is this. Here's a fundamental Baptist Christian. For what saith the Scripture? Here's an emotional Baptist Christian. How do I feel? Those two never meet in the middle. One is on improperly. And no matter what I do, I can't get that. By the way, missions is not only in the going, it's in the going again to make sure by the best you can as pastors, missionaries, Christians, to get things started properly. So everything works properly as opposed to 20 years later, a person's the center of their existence is still how they feel. It's still about them. Even though the Bible says, he that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses it shall find it, they're still thinking about how they feel. Things are on wrong. By the way, I'm a man. I've screwed a lot of bolts on improperly. And I'm strong enough, or I'll get a wrench, I'll get it on there. Pastor Koch told me, what does it do to the bolts? It ruins them, doesn't it? Now, 1991. I'm pastoring in St. Louis. It's a long time ago. The Iron Curtain falls. Most of you weren't pastors, so this won't resonate as much with you, but for a moment. When the Iron Curtain fell, pastors of our kind, Emmanuel, all over America wanted to do one thing. They wanted to go to Russia. They wanted to go to Ukraine. and they wanted to go to Romania. And I'd get these letters in the mail saying, we went to Russia, we had 7,000 people saved, 4,000 people saved, 3,000 people saved. I mean, there was more hoopla. I was getting more things in the mail from people who were independent Baptist pastors going to those countries, specifically Russia, Ukraine, and Romania. Now, they would go to Russian-speaking churches. How much Russian did they speak? How much? Zero. They would preach through an interpreter. I can do this in the Philippines, by the way. You don't know this. When I go to the Philippines, I never give an invitation. Because Filipinos in the Philippines, they like white people. I'm a big white person. They'll do what I tell them to do. If I tell them to jump, you know, on one foot, they would do it. Here's the problem. Are they saved? After 2 or 3 years, those pastors that had gone to Russia that were euphoric and ecstatic, they dropped the whole Russia experiment, they dropped the Ukraine experiment, they dropped the Romanian experiment, and they never went back because they went there because look at how wonderful I am. My friends, missions is not numbers, it's not hoopla, it's not excitement. It's what Paul did. He left Antioch, he went into these towns and these villages, he preached the gospel, he saw people saved, he went back to those people. I want you to look in the verses in your bulletins, if you would. I want you to notice exactly what he did. The first thing it says he did was he confirmed the souls of the disciples. That word confirm, it's by the way, this same word is found in Acts 15:32. At the very end it says, and he confirmed them. 15:41 it says, confirming the churches. Acts 18:23 says, strengthening all the disciples. The first thing they did was go back, look up here, and as best they could, they wanted to make sure the truth of the gospel was in the souls of these people, and they wanted them screwed down properly. They didn't want them to leak and to fall apart and to 20 years later still be wondering about how they feel. They wanted them centered in the truth. They confirmed and strengthened those men and women. Secondly, notice what else it says. It says exhorting them to continue in the faith and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. I don't have time this morning. I'll say this quickly. I'm 58 years old. For the first time in my lifetime, American Christians think maybe we might suffer persecution in America. And we got people nervous. Paul looked at Christians and said, you know what? Get over your dreams. You're going to have to go through much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. He exhorted them. What else did he do? It says he ordained in verse, let's see, what verse is it? In verse 23, he ordained them elders, pastors, elders, overseers in every church. So the three things they did was confirming or strengthening them. They exhorted them to continue in the faith. This is going back. This is not only in the going, but in the going again. It's not about photo opportunities. It's not about numbers. It's not about results. It's in going again and strengthening and exhorting and ordaining pastors, or maybe a simpler way of saying that is organizing and establishing churches. About a month ago, I read a statement that has stuck with me that has really captivated my mind. One man said this, without individuals, nothing happens. Without organizations, nothing survives. Please look at me. We have started at about 1900. Evangelists would go preach the gospel and go home. That's not missions. Missions is always about taking those people that have gotten saved, strengthening them, encouraging them, organizing them in a way where they have their own local churches with ordained pastors, elders, overseers to run those churches because, yes, it's exciting when a person comes in and preaches the gospel. Without people, individuals, nothing happens. But without organizations, nothing survives. And my friend, I can take you to places all over the world where missionaries went for 50 and 100 years. They did not organize churches properly. Let me just say it this way. Some of you will recognize this. When I went to Venezuela, when I was in this church early on, I had no idea the disaster that Baptist Mid-Missions caused in Venezuela. They did not organize churches properly. And when you don't, look at me, when you don't, have you ever tried to unorganize this stuff? Answer the question, have you ever screwed something down improperly and then try to undo it? Now they have churches where people that aren't even members of the church are on the board of the church running the church. Unbelievable. Notice Acts 14:23, would you please? All I'm going to say this morning is three simple statements. Missions is in the going. Yes, that's you and me. It's in the going again, because it's not enough just to tell people how to be saved. You must confirm them or strengthen them. You must exhort them. You must establish them in local churches. And then this last phrase, it says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to what? To the Lord. The exact same word, Acts 20:32, Paul, when he's speaking to the elders at Ephesus, says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. The idea being is, Paul wanted these people. He wanted these new believers. He went again. It's the going again. He wanted them to be strong. He wanted them to be encouraged or exhorted. He wanted them to be organized. And he wanted, listen, he commended them not to their emotions, not to their feelings that day, not to an individual named Paul. He commended them to the Lord. So he established, may I say it this way, he screwed their nut down properly. And you know what? When a nut's screwed down properly, things work well. If the nut isn't screwed down properly, and the center of a person's existence is anything other. What did Paul say? For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. But God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross. He screwed them down properly. He put them in a place where they had a relationship with God that was the center of their world. Now, I'm going to say this, and we're going to be done in a moment. I'm an old guy. I've been here a long time. In my almost 30 years of being a pastor, I have not yet ever been able to take a person that was screwed down improperly, unscrew them, and screw them down properly. I've never done it. I'm going to say this to everybody here. Look up here, folks. I'm going to pray this morning when we get done that God will unscrew some of you. I think it's time that some of us have Christ in the center. We're commended to the Lord and his word. Not our emotions, not our favorite this, something that screws us down properly. Now, if you would look with me to Acts 15 and verse 36. I want you to notice this is the last concept. There's really one word that you'll read right past. If you're from the Philippines or from Cameroon, I know both of those countries will understand this word better than an American up front. Not always for good. Notice in Acts 15:36, by the way, the missionary journey's done. What does Paul say to Barnabas? And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go. What? And here's the word that you'll run right past. Visit. Visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Look up here, folks. I asked Pastor Malone here for this point. We're now in a place in America where in many countries, two things happen. Number one, either they don't need American missionaries, Or number two, white people can't go. We had our friend from Davao here recently, Boy Atencio, and he's already telling you, there's Muslims that are being reached by Filipino pastors that if I show up there, somebody will kill me or capture me for ransom. And since I have no money and you wouldn't pay for me, I'd be there the rest of my life. There's no money to go. I mean, they don't want us there. And plus, we're not needed there. So what is the point here? Number three, missions is in the going, the initial going. It's in the going again. Are you ready? I know this is boring. It's in the going yet once again, but in a different way. We're not going there just to see people saved, though gospel's good. We're not even going there to confirm and strengthen and establish the local church. We're going for a third reason. We have some things to offer to help those pastors, churches, to move forward. It's in the going again. Now, please look at the text. The word that you're going to miss is the word visit. Pastor Malone, I'm going to speak to you. In America, this is a visit. I'm going to come over and visit you. In America, I call and say, hey, folks, we're going to come up. Jenny and I are on our way to Minneapolis. Can we come by for a visit? And you say, fine. When we go there, if you're an American, you prepare lunch for us. You prepare lodgings for us. Yes? You're now exactly opposite of what the Bible's thinking about. But Chungay, when you go home to visit in the Philippines, what do they expect? Who takes whom out to eat? You take them out to eat, yes? They expect you to do what? To bring gifts. Is that right, folks from Cameroon? Is that right? That's the reason Brian's never going back to Cameroon, because he doesn't have any money. Is that right, Brian? Ade and Linda aren't here this morning, but the last time Ade went there, he said, I went to a certain house. He said, I got there at 4 o'clock in the morning because I didn't want anybody to know that I was coming because they're expecting money. He said, and even though I got there at like 4 in the morning, when I got there, people were lined up waiting for me. And you have lots of relatives you never met before, right, Brian? So look at me, folks. When the Bible says visit, you can't think like an American. It's exactly the opposite. It's the word in the Old Testament where God says this. I'm going to, and it says it in two different ways. Visit your iniquities. That's the negative. Or I'm going to visit you with blessings. They didn't go back to say, hey, church, I came here. I preached the gospel to you. I established this church. Take care of me. No, they were using language reminiscent of what God does. They were coming there the third time to visit some special blessings on those churches and believers. Got it? So I know next time you do a visit, you say, I never want to visit anybody again if I have to pay for it. That's in many cultures. When I go to the Philippines, I'm not a Filipino. You say, why? Because I'm too tall, too white, and too fat to be a Filipino. But I know one thing. When I go to the Philippines, you don't go there without gifts. Hello? And Paul is saying, let's go back and see how they do. Let's go back and visit them like God visits. By the way, if you have your Bibles, you don't have to look at these verses. One of them is actually in Acts 15, believe it or not. So you can look in Acts 15. In Matthew 25:36, when Jesus says, naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, that doesn't mean they were sick. And you came and sat with them and looked at them in the eyes. That meant you brought them stuff. Okay, you did something for them. It's found also in many passages in the Old Testament, but in Luke, when it's talking about the Messiah, Christ coming, it says, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. In Luke 1:78, it says, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Luke 7:16 says that God hath visited his people. Acts 15:14, the same word is found. Simon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. Folks, he didn't come and have tea and coffee. He came to redeem the Gentiles. It says to take out of them a people for his name. James 1:27, Emmanuel, you were talking about this. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. That doesn't mean going over and having a seat with them. It means going over and helping them with blessings of some variety. Now, I'm almost done. I was in Romania in 1995 or 6. I've been in the Philippines a lot. Both countries' pastors have told me clearly this. We do not need white missionaries in this country. Just what you've said. We have plenty of men that can pastor. We have plenty of men that can plant churches. What do we need? Do you have your bulletin? Turn back under the section called Objectives, would you? You say, what do these pastors need? By the way, and they need them in every country. Under the bottom, under conference objectives, not personal, I talk about a personal pastoral library. Under that, I explain, and by the way, to pastors in the Philippines and in Liberia specifically, they speak and read English. This project is formulated specifically to assist chosen pastors in both countries with a personal library on a Kindle Paperwhite. Everyone look up here. You see this thing here? I have one of these. A friend in the church gave me one of these. In my way of knowledge, this is the best reading device you can purchase. It is a reading device. Now, in America, I have all my romance novels on here. And Pastor Henderson, I'm not going to say what you'd say about your wife because my wife wouldn't hit me, but my daughter would. And she's here this morning. I'm not going to say I have my wife's novels on here because she doesn't read them either. My friend, I want to show you something. I have on here books on apologetics. I have 10 different Bibles. I have biographies. I have church history. I have books on education. I have books on historical theology. I have books on modern world history. New Testament background in theology. Old Testament background in theology. Practical theology. I have books by the Puritans. I have books on science. I have books on polemic theology. I have 26 volumes of systematic theology on here. I want everyone to look at me. You say, what is this? What are you getting at? Missions is in the going. Everybody in this room needs to start here. The people in this room that never give to missions and never witness anybody, I don't know what you're doing. Because somebody talked to you. Missions is in the going again, but frankly, where we're at in the Philippines and in Liberia, it's in the third stage. They no longer need pastors. They have churches. They need men like myself, Pastor Malone, and other good men. Scott Willequette's one I think of immediately. They need people to come alongside and give them education. Folks, let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried preaching? What if the most you had was a King James Bible with no notes, with no cover? That's the average Filipino pastor I work with in the Philippines. They have no books of any kind. And guess what? For $200 to $250 a piece, we can give a pastor a library for a lifetime that he can use and, look at me, other pastors will read too. You say, what else do they need? Pastor Jack Henderson, I appreciated very much what you said. You all don't get some of this. He started his ministry in Veracruz in the jungles. Was there many years, did other works. Now he's not 16 anymore or 30 or even 40. He started a camp. Do you realize how many countries need camps? Now, some of that camping, when I looked at some of those buildings, I'm thinking, I don't really want to have to take a shower in that shower. But I've been in the Philippines, so I'm used to it. By the way, the bucket, brother, I'm almost an expert. I cannot get down on that little stool in the Philippines. They have one about this hall. I think if I ever got down there, I'd never get up. But I can get down there and do that dipper. Those men need camps. Those people need books. Those people need pastoral conferences. They need Pastor Malone to come to Liberia. You say what? They've never been around educated men. This man is a highly intelligent man, or he wouldn't be here. He's a great pastor, but he has something to contribute. My friend, look at me. Missions is not about hoopla. Missions is not, we had 12,000 saved. No, missions is the initial going. It's the going again to do some things to organize and confirm and strengthen. And it's going back. And right now in the Philippines, right now in Liberia, much in Trinidad and Tobago, and frankly in many places of the world, they don't need a white person there. Except that third level. Books, camps, Bible colleges, music, pastoral training, encouragement. Pastor Malone used the term mentoring. Organizing, higher levels of training. They don't so much need church planters, they need those things. I'm going to say this and we're going to be done this morning. I'm going to tell you something about the New Testament that you have never noticed. It's because it's so obvious. Most of the books that Paul wrote, look at me, were not first level. They weren't telling people how to be saved. They were either the second level, confirming the disciples, look at me, or the third level. Paul spent his ministry, look at me, writing letters, so they had the doctrines and the truths. He did his ministry sending his delegates. Have you ever heard of people like Titus, Timothy, Epaphroditus? All of these men, Paul was sending them out. You read them all through the New Testament, and you don't realize that's what missions was. Because once people get saved, they don't need to get saved again. What they need then is to get organized and strengthened and established. And then they need that third level where the Apostle Paul is writing letters, making personal visits, and sending his delegates, Timothy, Titus, Silas, Barnabas, Luke, Mark, Epaphroditus, all kinds of people. They sent them out because let us go back and visit. See how they do. Let us bring some blessings. Let us bring what we can bring to help these people. My friend, please look at this. I had this given to me. I put the books on here. We've already done this in the Philippines, and you didn't know it. People in this church has already done this with pastors. You know why? Because there's some folks in this church that realize these are men. They're better men than I am with no books. They don't even have a good Bible. How many Bibles do you have? I didn't ask how many you read. How many do you have? Yes. As my brochure I have on the front, let us go again and see how they do. And the objective being to visit them, not like an American expecting them to bless you, but visiting them with blessings that can help them. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for Pastor Malone. I